This is a Rabble Podcast Network show. New voices in your head. It's Radio Free Radio.
Joining me is Abu Sufyan Abdul Razik and Mary Foster, a member of Project Fly Home, the group that brought Abdul Razik back from Sudan. What work is Project Fly Home doing right now to advance the cause of Abu Sufyan?
In January, we launched a six-month campaign. The campaign is leading up to the first anniversary of Abdul Razik's homecoming. Many people, after he came home, were very happy and thought that everything was over, but that isn't the case. Mr. Abdul Razik is living in what he calls a prison without walls, which is he's living under sanctions that have been imposed on him since 2006. These sanctions mean that he is not able to work, he's not able to receive an income. He can't have a bank account and a number of other things. Basically, what the sanctions regime does is impose first a travel ban on him, but it also imposes a complete asset freeze.
Now, this is the sanctions, the no-fly list, it's the UN 1267 list?
No, it's not a no-fly list. Many people think of it as a no-fly list, but it goes beyond a no-fly list. It's a travel ban, and it's an asset freeze. So an asset freeze means that, for example, here in Canada, if you or if I or if anyone were to give Mr. Abdul Razik $5, for example, we would be breaking the law in Canada.
While I'm in Sudan, I received a call from the ambassador, the consular in the Canadian embassy. And when I went there, just he looked like he's sad and asked me to come in his office. When I sat down in his office, he said, Abdul Razik, I find out that your name is in the list 1267. Actually, me, I don't know what it means, 1267. You know, I don't care about this in the beginning because I don't have knowledge about it. Just it's a way, you know, I find myself in that list. But after I have more knowledge about it, I know what it means, you know.
I guess when you came back to Canada, people told you what the list actually meant.
While I'm in Sudan, I started to study to educate about the list, you know, by myself, and I try to figure out what it means. And I have more knowledge when I came back to Canada, actually, yeah.
The fact that Canada's policy is completely contradictory around Mr. Abdul Razik. On the one hand, their own security agencies have cleared him. On the one hand, they're calling, they actually asked the UN to remove him from the list. But on the other hand, they're imposing the sanctions on him in Canada. And on the other hand, they're not doing anything to actually concretely, realistically get his name off the list. They obviously don't think he's a threat to anyone or anything, and at the same time they're continuing to treat him as though he's a threat. So the question is then, how can Canada resolve this contradiction? How can the government act in a coherent way? And it's obviously by lifting the sanctions from him entirely. And this is not the first, this wouldn't be the first time. In 2003, there was a Canadian who was on this list, and the government at the time lifted the sanctions, which was the sensible thing to do. They didn't continue to impose the sanctions. So that's what they have to do right now.
To be in the list, that means you are in a prison. Even if you are not in a prison which is to be locked in somewhere, but actually it's, even if you walk on the street, you're still in a prison without hope. That is my situation for now. And the impact of this list, it is forbid me to work, to have bank account. Like I tried twice with two institutions, financially in Montreal. Anybody deal with me financially? The government consider him as a commit a crime. Can I see? Yeah.
And Mary, how's Project Fly Home? How is it trying to now take this cause and bring it to the mainstream public?
We're asking people, for example, to join the telethon on April 28th, phone in to the telethon, and make a donation to Mr. Abdul Razik. So not only does that help him in this really difficult situation, but it also is a very strong way of saying we actually reject this national security logic that seems to be increasingly driving some government policies.
Because of this list, when I walk on the street, yes, I see the people walking in the street and they do whatever they want to do, to open account or travel or, you know, work. Yes, I see all the Canadian in a side, and I see myself, I distinguish by this least from them, you know, yes.
You feel isolated from society?
Yeah, I isolate from the society because I cannot work like a normal person. I cannot travel, even if I want, just for essential things, the basis of my life. I want to go back to United Nations to have a permission. This, as I see it, is ridiculous, you know. To have somebody, you know, to manage my life, this is, it is unimaginable for me just to have somebody to organize my life for me.
Now, Mary, do you notice any other groups around the globe, anywhere else that are doing this kind of work?
I know there was a big NGO conference in Belgium in the fall, which brought groups together from around the world, also legal advocates and mostly human rights organizations, to look at this issue of lists, which is increasingly becoming a human rights disaster for people. And it's also, it's a tool for governments to obviously to control individuals and populations and organizations. You know, there's already the issue that's fairly well known about no-fly lists. Canada's just introduced its own no-fly list about a couple of years ago. But this regime actually goes beyond no-fly lists and imposes economic sanctions on individuals. So the 1267 list is something that groups have been mobilizing against globally, because it's this kind of regime where there's no process, there's no due procedure. He didn't know he was put on that list. You don't get a trial beforehand. You don't get to respond to allegations. You don't even know what evidence, if any. There's no standard for evidence. Your name gets put on this list with almost no process, and then the repercussions for the individual's lives are enormous, a tremendous loss of freedom. He talks about a prison without walls, and that's a very good analogy, because it's a far-reaching set of restrictions that are placed on an individual's lives. Because this is such an important issue, groups have been challenging it increasingly around the world. At the beginning of last month, the Swiss Parliament passed a resolution to a large extent condemning the 1267 list, and that's just one instance of some of the opposition that's taken place on this.
And Abdelrazik, what do you hope to accomplish with this event by Project Fly Home?
I hope the people just disobey the sanction and to express that, to donate money. I wish the government of Canada just to sit down and to realize that one Canadian citizen is completely being, his life is frozen, and to act on my behalf and to move to do something.
Well, thank you so much, the two of you.